Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, quick question. How many of you would be bold enough today to admit that you take selfies? How many of you want to lie in church? All right. We all take selfies. Like, it's a thing. I don't know why we decided to do it, but we've done it. Selfies, you take selfies, I'll take selfies. If you don't know what a selfie is, look at someone beside you and ask, what's a selfie? And you look at them and go, say, what? A selfie is exactly what it sounds like. It's when you take a picture of yourself with your phone. Nobody uses cameras anymore. They use their phones. But a selfie, you know, you turn around and you take a picture of it. What is the first thing you do, be honest, what's the first thing you do when you take a selfie? You take it, and what do? You turn the camera, and you look at it. And if you're like me, you look at it, and you go, oh, is that really? Am I the only one who, like, you're disappointed when you see your picture? You're like, man, I thought I was getting it done today. Like, I thought things were happening. And then you have this photo, and you're like, nope, still the same guy. Ugh. Good, I'm glad I'm not alone. But we do that, right? We take pictures, and then we turn around, and here's what we do. We decide if it's good enough to share with other people. Right? Because you're looking at it, and you're like, no, that's not good enough. I've got to try again. No, that's not good enough. I try again. Because what you're trying to do is you are trying to capture the best version of yourself, right? And some of you are great at it. I'm like, man, they really know what they're doing. I think my wife is great at it. In fact, this summer we did some traveling, and we have friends who always take pictures on vacation, and I'm kind of bad at it. And so we decided on this vacation we were going to try harder to take pictures, which meant we were the typical obnoxious American tourists. And we took pics, we took selfies with like all these famous things, and it was just awful, but we did it. And I want to share one of them with you because my wife was really insistent. This was our last night on vacation, and she really wanted a picture of us by the river. And so I want you to show the picture we got. This is the one we got. And, aww. Yes, that is the appropriate response, is to say, aww, because, you know, we tried really hard. Now, let me confess to you, this took about 30,000 attempts. Because there's a lot going on. In this picture, there's a lot of light going on. My wife wanted to make sure that the kiss was like an appropriate kiss on my cheek. You know, she wanted a rated PG kiss, not a rated R kiss on my cheek. And in fact, I have one more I want to show you. There's another picture. This was right before that picture was taken. It did not work. It did not work as well as the other picture. Now, which of those do you think, if we're going to frame a picture or if we're going to share a picture of any kind, which one are we going to share? The first one, right? Not the second one. You inherently get that. You inherently know that the first picture would be the picture that you would share with other people. And it's because it's the best picture possible of the situation. And the selfie generation, the selfie era, has made us really good at working hard to take the best picture possible. I went to Motion with like 90 students. Y'all are great at taking selfies. I mean, they know how to hold the camera. They know how to get the light right. They know how to do the duck face thing. Side note. How many of you are like, I cannot believe the pastor just did duck face? Like, you're kind of horrified. Trust me, I'm equally horrified. Equally horrified. But no, like, you watch these people. They know how to do it. They know how to take the selfies. They know which side is their good side. Anybody like me, I'm still looking for my good side. Like, I can't find it. I'm like, that's not it. That ain't it. I don't know where it is. But we have this whole thing. Like people work so hard. There are selfie classes. There, I mean, you can take all these things. And we have just gotten so great at making sure the lighting's right and the angle's right and the face is right and the light behind us is right and making sure we put out the best possible picture. And I know, because some of you grew up in church, you think that I'm about to slam you for being superficial and just rage it. That is not where I'm going today. I'm actually going, yeah, somebody's like, amen, because I ain't changing. Duck face selfie for life. No. See, I believe what social media has kind of exemplified is this innate desire we have within ourselves to do whatever it takes to present the best picture of ourselves, the best version of ourselves to the world, especially to those that we don't know yet, to those we aren't connected to at the time. And I believe that that is a God-given desire. In fact, what I want to talk about today is how we as a church must work together to do whatever it takes to make sure that we get the right lighting and the right angle so that we are putting out the best possible picture, not of ourselves, but of our Heavenly Father. What I'm really saying is that the selfie is holy. No, it's not. It's not. It's not holy. It's not. I don't know. It's not. But the desire behind it is, and I am convinced if we can get what Paul's going to try to teach us today about that idea, it can change a lot of what we are doing as a church and make us more effective and help us reach the people that God has called us to reach. Now, if you are new today, if it's your very first time, we're in the middle of a series that we are calling This Is Us. And I've been saying throughout the series, if you want to catch up, if maybe you've missed a little bit, I highly encourage you to visit this website, wellspringchurch.tv/thisisus. I would love for you to be able to kind of catch up with where we're going. Because really what we're doing in this series is I'm doing the best I can to very clearly and easily put forward for you what I believe God has given us as our specific roadmap, our specific calling for how he wants us to play our role here in Myrtle Beach to see this region transformed. And if you are a part of Wellspring, as I've been saying, my hope is that this series draws you in, that this series helps you solidify and clarify why you're here and what your role is, and that you get excited about it. If you're checking out Wellspring, if you're visiting from another church or you're new to the area, I'm hoping that this series helps you decide, yes, this is the church for me or this isn't the church for me. And if it is the church for you, man, we hope you jump in. And for some of you today, I know this may be your very first time here. You may not even believe in God. You're here because somebody invited you. You just kind of stumbled in. We are thrilled that you are here. As we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, our church is designed for you. And my hope for this series, if you're not a Christian, is that you can at least begin to be open to the idea that God is real and be open to the idea that there is a place that is committed to doing everything possible to help reconnect you with your Heavenly Father. Because as we've been saying throughout the series, the reason Wellspring exists, our mission is to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. If you're here today and you would say you are far from God, we exist for you. We exist to do whatever it takes to help reconnect you with your Heavenly Father and then to help you learn what it means to live a life built on Jesus. Because what we've discovered and what we are convinced is true is that life with Jesus is better than life without Jesus. And the way we feel like God has specifically called us to play this role in Myrtle Beach, the vision, the strategy he's given us, is that we want to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. And again, I said this last week, when I say unchurched people, I may be talking about you. And I don't mean it in a derogatory way at all. It's simply a label. It's simply an acknowledgement that the vast majority of people that live here are unchurched. They do not attend a church regularly. They do not have a church in their life that they love, that they feel like is making a difference in their life. And our goal as a church is to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. And what I really want to talk about today is that last part. I want to focus on the love to attend. Now, I don't say this lightly because I grew up in church. I'm a church guy. I went to church all the time. But for those of you in the room who grew up attending church, right, like it was a regular part of your life. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to call anybody out, but just answer this question in your mind. How many of you can genuinely say you loved it? That like Going to church, the act of going to a worship service, that 1 hour to 2 hours, if you were like me, I spent like 8 hours a week at church. But how many of you can honestly say that you loved it? That it was the highlight of your week? That it was the best hour of your week? That you ran to church? That on Sunday mornings, your parents didn't have to wake you up? You were dressed. You were ready to go. Now, again, I pray with all my heart that you had an experience like that. I grew up loving church. I cannot say I always loved attending church. I cannot say that church was always this fun place that I was excited to attend and I was sad to leave. Now, there's a really interesting tension here. Because people feel that way about the church, but they don't feel that way about Jesus. You will be hard-pressed in your conversations today, no matter who you're talking to find anyone who would say a negative word about Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was these two guys who were talking about their faith. And this one guy had just gone through this whole thing about, I'm not really spiritual, I don't really believe in anything. And the guy kind of pressed him, and he was like, well, what if you had to? And I'll never forget what this guy said. He said, well, at the end of the day, don't you have to go with Jesus? I mean, that dude was awesome. Like, don't you have to kind of go with, and I was like, yes, I almost drove off the road. I was like, yes, that's it. That's it. You have to go with Jesus. So we live in this dynamic. You have people who know nothing about God, people who are doing other things who still just have this innate thing of like, man, Jesus was awesome. That dude was so cool. I would love to have hung out with Jesus. But when you ask them the same thing about, would you ever attend a church service? They're like, no, never. And there's this huge rift that I really think comes down to one thing, and it goes back to what I was talking about before. It's that I think somewhere along the way, we as Christians, we as the church, for those of you who would consider yourself part of that we, and say, yes, I'm a part of this church, I am a Christian, we stopped trying to put out the best picture possible of our Heavenly Father. We stopped doing it. We stopped taking selfies with the light and the angle and everything right, and we started taking those pictures that you send to your spouse. You know, it's the picture of the mark on your leg, and you're like, what's this? You know, like, because you know nobody's gonna see that. It's gross. But what's happened, I think, is the church there's a natural tendency. We've turned inward. The church has turned inward. And everything becomes about communicating with each other and communicating with insiders and communicating with people who understand what we're talking about and who already believe what we believe. So we've lost this desire to make sure we are putting out into the world the best picture possible. And here's why that's damaging. The world is making a decision about our Heavenly Father based on the picture we put out. They just are. And if you don't believe me, ask anyone you know who had a bad experience at church and ask them what they think of God. The two cannot be separated. They cannot be separated because Jesus said they can't be separated. They can't be separated because Jesus said, this is the deal. This is how we've designed it. This is how we set it up. The world is going to make a decision about my Father based on the picture my people present to the world. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the very first church who understood this. We have to be careful with the picture that we're putting out into the world. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about how we as a church plan to do everything possible to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. And it all comes down to the picture that we present. The picture that we put out into the world. So just like last week, I want to explain why this is so important to us. And then I want to tell you how we plan to do it. And just like last week, I'm going to turn to a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring. If you're new, Paul was an early church leader. He was a pastor. He actually started many churches. Paul would then write those churches letters to give them instructions to know how to follow him. And we believe as Christians that when Paul wrote those letters, God was speaking through him. And we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later. And we know what God wants us to do in our life. And in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, he addresses this issue. He addresses the picture that Christians should present to the world. And here's what he says. Present the best possible picture. Work hard at it. It should affect the way you live your life, and when you gather and when you're separate, make sure you're doing everything you can to present the best possible picture of your heavenly Father. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 4. Here's what Paul says. He says, hey guys, live wisely among those who are not believers. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Now, when I hear that, to live wisely, the way my brain is wired, I immediately go to strategic. He's saying, be strategic when you are around unbelievers. Be smart about it, which means you have to learn about them. And you have to study them. And you have to talk to them in a way that they are going to understand. And you have to communicate to them in a way where they're not going to be pushed away. Live wisely amongst those that are not believers. And then he says this. He says, and make the most of every opportunity. So not only do I want you to be strategic, I want you to be urgent. I want you to think about how you interact with people that don't believe in me, and I want you to be wise. I want you to be careful. I want you to be strategic about it, and I want you to make the absolute most you have out of every single opportunity. How do we do that? Here's what he says. He says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let your conversation, so that's talking about us individually, when you're in the community, when you're talking with your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers, let your conversations be gracious and attractive. Gracious means that it is loving, that it is accommodating, that it is inviting, it is not accusatory. To be gracious and attractive, that means it's designed in such a way to draw people in. He's saying, let your conversations be gracious and attractive. Now again, as the church, we have conversations daily. But then we also gather together weekly. And there is no place where we speak louder, where we speak clearer, where we speak more definitively than these gatherings. And what I believe Paul is saying is when you gather, when you have your church services, whatever you do, make sure that you are wise in the way you deal with unbelievers, and make sure that you are making the most of every opportunity. Make sure that you are being gracious and attractive. Make sure that you are accommodating for people, that you're making it easy for people to come in. And now, please don't get me wrong. We don't have to work hard at all to make God attractive. I need you to hear that. He is an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing God of the universe who wants to make your life better. That is attractive. We don't have to work to make God attractive. We just have to make sure that when people gather around us, that the picture we're putting out is the best possible picture of our heavenly Father. And the way we've decided to do that here, the way we talk about that here, is back to our vision. We want to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. We want them to love it. When they gather here, when they come here, we want them to love being here. Here's what that means. That means today, if you're here and you don't believe in God, or if you bring your neighbor who doesn't believe in God, I want them to feel so welcomed. I want them to feel so loved. I want them to have so much fun. I want them to enjoy themselves so much. I want them to be blown away by how nice people are. I want them to be blown away by how great of an experience their children had. I want them to be blown away by how maybe they learned something, something was actually helpful they could apply to their life, that even if they don't leave here having changed their mind about God, they enjoyed so much being around His people. They enjoyed so much the picture we presented, that even if they haven't changed their mind yet, they want to come back. That they are drawn back into what we are doing. That is why we want to become a church that unchurched people love to attend. That's why it drives us so much, because we feel like that is how we obey what Paul says to do. That's how we do it. What could be more wise, more strategic than making sure we do everything we can to connect with them? What could make the most of every opportunity more than systematically saying, this is how we are going to treat these people? We are going to do whatever it takes to present the best possible picture. Because the best possible picture is the clearest possible picture. Because our Heavenly Father is irresistible. He is attractive. And if people aren't being attracted to Him through us, guess what? He's not the one that's wrong. It's us. And so what we've decided as a church is that we kind of want to give some guardrails and some roadmaps for how we want to do this as a church. I'm going to talk to you about it today. And in fact, any of you who serve here, any of you who volunteer on a Sunday morning, I really hope you're making plans to come back tonight to our volunteer vision night, because we're going to make this even clearer. And for those of you who are like, oh, I want to come, guess what? Sign up to serve. In the lobby today, we have the big serve event. It's almost like we planned it. And you can join in. And you can be a part of what we feel like God has called us to do. Because here's the nuts and bolts. Here's what we feel like God has called us to do as a church. Because here's what we understand, right? I said this last week. We cannot change anybody's mind. We can't do that. We can't make somebody grow in their faith. We can't save anybody. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. All we can do is set the table. All we can do is make it as easy as possible to present the best picture possible, so that they have the clearest choice possible. And then God can change them as they decide to reconnect with their Heavenly Father. So what our goal on a Sunday morning is, what our goal really in everything we do, is to create irresistible environments. That's what we want to do. We want, when you attend our church, when you attend a Bible study, that the environment itself is irresistible. And we use the term environment because environment, you've experienced environments. Everywhere you go has an environment. Your home has an environment. It has a feel. Maybe it's a welcoming feel. Maybe it's a we didn't expect you today feel. You know, you ever popped in on somebody and you're like, oh, you didn't expect visitors today, did you? Yeah, this is what the house really looks like. That's my favorite time to go to somebody's house. That is, and isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how the closer you get to know somebody, like it's almost like it's an act of love when it's like, okay, I'm going to let you in. I would not let most people in, but this is how much I love you. Enjoy my mess. But you would never do that for a guest, right? You would never do that. But you've all experienced environments. You've experienced environments at work, environments where there's collaboration. You've experienced the environment where you know, you can tell, you know, we just kind of do what we're told. Like, we all understand this idea of environments. Well, when it comes to our church, not only do we know our environments all have a feel, our environments all communicate something about God. They don't communicate something about me. They don't communicate something about Wellspring. They communicate something about our Heavenly Father. And so we want to make sure that what our environments create is that God loves you and that a relationship with God will make your life better and that God Himself is irresistible. So what I want to do is I kind of want to walk you through a couple of questions that we ask ourselves to help figure out if our environments are irresistible. Is the parking lot irresistible? Is the lobby
irresistible? Is this room? This is an environment. It's irresistible. Are the children's environments, are they irresistible on Wednesday night? Are student environments irresistible? And now, one of the reasons I want to bring this, I want to give you some pretty much kind of the roadmap, and then I'm going to clarify it more tonight, but give you the roadmap is because I believe when we all have shared goals, we create a shared culture. For those of you that call Wellspring home, you need to know that this matters to us. And you need to understand why we do what we do and why it is so significant. Because if you begin to understand it, you begin to own it. And the culture is created and you can spread it. Now, number two, I'm going to be real honest. It's accountability. If you know what we're going for and you see an area where we are missing the mark, you have full permission to tell us you've missed it here. Just be prepared for us to say, great, how are you going to fix it? I'm kind of joking. I'm kind of not. Because we're all in this together. But the reason we do this is because we are convinced that when the church works as hard as it can to present the best possible picture it can of its Heavenly Father, when the church works to be irresistible in itself, more lives will be changed. More men, more women will fall in love with the same Heavenly Father that's changing your life. And they will have their lives changed as well. So, we basically build this down to three keys. We have three keys to creating irresistible environments. Here's number one. Is the setting appealing? We ask this question about our church in every environment we do. Is the setting appealing? And we don't just mean appealing in general. We mean, is our setting appealing to the intended audience? Have you ever been somewhere and you know it was not designed for you? Does that ever happen? I talk a lot about a guy named Brandon Thomas. He is the pastor of Keystone Church back in Keller, Texas. They're actually the church that started us. I consider him my pastor. And when I was in seminary, he was working in another church, and that's where we met. And he took me to lunch one day. And he took me to a place he had never been before. And when we walked in the door, it was very clear that place was not designed for us. We walked into this little strip mall, and we walked in, and as we walked in the door, have you guys ever seen the westerns where, like, the guy walks into the bar and everything stops? It's like, you know, we walked into, turns out it was a ladies' tea room, and the walls were pink, and all the ladies were dressed way nicer than we were, and as we walked in the door, they all went, it was like we had just walked into a club meeting or something. I mean, we stayed and ate, but it was fine. But, I mean, the sandwiches were pretty good. I mean, sometimes you need a little cucumber sandwich, right? Held it with our pinkies up like that. Anyway, it was abundantly clear when we walked in, this place was not designed with me in mind. It was perfectly designed for its intended audience. And we work really hard. We work really hard to try to make sure that our settings are appealing. Do we get it right all the time? Of course not. Do you probably think of eight things right now we could make better? You probably can't. And man, I'm begging you to help because we really do. We want to make the best picture possible. But it's why we have different things in preschools. We do in here. Our lobby's different. We just put new signage out. We're doing all these things in an effort simply to make the setting appealing. You know, there's a reason we put cheerful people in the parking lot. There's a reason we put more signs in the parking lot. I know some of you think, you're like, well, if you can't do anything else, serve in the parking lot. Wrong. In my opinion, there are few teams more important than our parking lot team. Do you know why? I'm going to blow your mind. Do you know that most people that attend our church for the first time, statistics would tell us, most people that attend our church for the first time make a decision within the first 5 minutes as to whether or not they're going to come back. Let that sink in. Within the first 5 minutes, before they've set foot in this room, before they've heard the band play one note, before they've heard me say one word, first 5 minutes, they've decided, they've talked, they've looked at each other, and they've either rolled their eyes at the experience or they've gone, wow, this is something. And let me help you. Here, let me be real, real honest. Here's why this matters. Our God is something. Our God is mind-blowing. Our God went above and beyond for us. Our God sent his son to die for us. That's what our God did. And that's the message that we're trying to present to a world that desperately needs it. And so we've got to go above and beyond and do whatever it takes in the parking lot, in the lobby, to make sure people are experiencing. They're not going to have their minds blown. They're not going to like say, they were nice to me, I'm going to become a Christian right now. Here's what they're going to say. Well, that's different. Man, I like that. Did you see how much they loved our daughter? Did you see how kind they are? Those people were genuinely happy I'm here. Are we sure we're at a church? I'm confused. And the walls start to fall. And they become open. And I see some of you smiling. And I see some of you nodding. Because you've experienced this. You know this is true. And it's why I'm taking a whole sermon to talk about it. Why we're going to do an entire volunteer training tonight about it. It's because the better we are at getting rid of ourselves and joining this movement and this team and saying, we're going to do whatever it takes to create irresistible environments. We're going to do whatever it takes to present the best picture possible of our Heavenly Father. I'm telling you, the more lives God will be able to change here through us and through you. So number one is the setting appealing. Does it feel good? Some of you have asked, you know, back in the spring, why did we do that series for 6 weeks and stories, and we had all those things in the lobby and all that stuff that we didn't spend a dime on. We borrowed it from another church. But why did we do all that? It was to make the setting appealing. 100%. It was so that it would be fun. It was because when we say we want this to be the best hour of your week, we really want it to be the best hour of your week. And we want it to be the best hour of an unchurched person's week. And so we do things like that. We do silly things. We try to draw them in. Not only do we want the setting to be appealing, number two, we ask, is the presentation engaging? Is it engaging? Not is it true? Because if we're talking about God, it better be true. Is the presentation engaging? Is it easy to jump in? Is it easy to listen to? We have all been in church where you have to work to pay attention. My wife says it all the time. There ain't no tired worse than church tired. When that dude's just droning on and on and on, and you're on the second row, and you're like, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. If you love Jesus, you won't fall asleep. Look, I tell all our teams all the time, the last thing I want is someone attending anything we do because they have to. It's the last thing I want. I want everything we do to be so engaging, so inviting, so easy for you to participate, so easy for you to pay attention, so designed for you that it's not effort. It's like sitting through a great movie. There are some three-hour movies that you can sit through and you're like, that was amazing. There are some 80-minute movies that you're like, that was the longest thing I've ever seen in my life. We want to err towards engaging. It's why we do smoke and lights in here, because we like the smoke and the lights, because it's engaging. It's why your children in your preschool environment, we have bubbles. If I thought it would engage you, we'd do bubbles in here. I'd be like, I would blow some bubbles for Jesus. You know, that's why if you have kids who are back in our children's environments, we have incredibly high energy, dynamic people who want to interact with them because we don't want your kids bored. We don't want your kids having to find out, go. No, because that's not who our Heavenly Father is. I grew up going to church because I had to. We want to be a church people attend because they want to. Because it's so engaging, because they have so much fun. And not only fun, it's not just is the presentation engaging. The last question we ask, is the content helpful? If I go to this thing, not only am I going to feel like it was designed for me, not only is it going to be easy for me to jump in and pay attention, but am I going to learn something that's going to help my life? Am I going to learn something that's going to make my life better? It's like we talked about last week. When we talk about how to grow people's faith, practical teaching is a very big part of it. And so we want to make sure in every environment, from preschool to kids to students to this adult environment to our men's Bible studies to our women's Bible studies, it's not just about getting together and learning more about God. We get together so that we can learn how to become like God, so that we can learn to apply His truth to our life, because it will make our life better. And oh, by the way, it also gives us a better picture. I laugh all the time, and I make this joke all the time, and I'm going to keep making it until you change. So when you see people's social media, and it's like, come to Wellspring, and then the next week and a half is like, my life is the worst, people are stupid, I want to murder this person, you have to be an idiot to think this, what is wrong with you people? On my way to Wellspring. I'm like, what? What? I love you, but that is not the best possible picture. But these are the questions we ask. And as I said, we're going to flesh this out a lot more tonight, because really, this best picture is in the hands of our people. It's in the hands of our volunteers. It's in the hands of the people who serve in all these environments and who play their role to allow God to grow us from 8 people meeting in a house to this. This did not happen because TJ is a great singer, even though he is. This did not happen because occasionally I make a decent point from the stage, which I hope I do. This happened because a group of people decided, we're going to get together and we're going to do whatever it takes to present a better picture of our God and our Heavenly Father. And we've been doing this for a while. We've just never been as clear about it. I've never been as clear about it for you. But these are the questions we ask. And so if you're a part of Wellspring, when you see things that aren't appealing, let us know. When you say, hey, that wasn't as engaging as it could have been, we want to hear your ideas. Hey, that wasn't as helpful as it could have been. Well, come on, help us. We want to present the best possible picture. If you've got a new face I can make for a selfie, if duck face is over and there's a better face, I need to know about it. Because I want to present the best possible picture of our Heavenly Father. Because anything less than the best is a disservice to Him. Because He is the best. He is attractive. He is all-loving. He really does just want to make your life better. And we as His people represent that to the world. So we have to work to present the best possible picture. Now, real quick. I know for some of you, and I'm going to just go ahead and guess, that the stronger you feel about what I'm about to say, the longer you've been in church. Because the longer you've been in church, the easier it becomes to start to think, ah, man, we really don't have to try this hard. Man, it's really not that big a deal. It's really not that difficult. And look, I understand that. And here's what I would say to you especially, if you have been in church a long time and you kind of think we're going overboard, that we shouldn't really try this hard. Here's why we should try so hard, okay? And what I'm going to say, it's going to shock you for a minute, but I'm going to explain it. Here's why we should try so hard. It's because the gospel can feel offensive to the unchurched. Here's what I mean. The gospel, that means the good news. The good news of Jesus, the news that has changed our life, that Jesus came to set us free from our sin and the penalty for our mistakes, and that through a relationship with Him, we can live a life that is better on earth and we can spend eternity with Him. That is the gospel. That is the good news. But to the unchurched, to the outsider, this is the message. Everything you've done in your entire life was wrong. Everything you believe, everything you think, everything you thought was going to make you happy, everything you tried, it was wrong. Not only was it wrong, it's going to cost you your life. Because you broke something you can't fix. In fact, you are penalized and you have been sentenced to death because of your mistakes. And in fact, it was so bad, There's nothing you can do to fix it. So God had to send his son to fix it for you. And if you want to experience it, you have to admit right now, you're wrong about everything. And that Jesus is right. And that you'll follow him. Now, 100% true what I just said. And the longer you've been in church, the longer you've had a relationship with him, it doesn't feel offensive anymore. But it is. It is offensive to the outsider. And please hear me. I am fully willing to offend an outsider with the truth of Jesus. I am fully willing to present them with that truth and allow them to make a decision whether they want to respond or not. I am in. It's what I'm called to do. I stand on it. I am fine with it. But here's what I will not accept. As the pastor of this church, I am willing to offend an outsider with the message and gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not willing to offend them with anything else. That's where the line stops. And that's why we work so hard. And that's why this matters so much. Because we have to present the best picture. Because we have to create irresistible environments. We have to do everything we can to draw them in so that they can be confronted with the truth. That they need to surrender everything they have over to Jesus and give him control of their life. That is difficult enough. We're asking them to surrender everything. Let's make it easy as possible for them to get to that point. And the way we are convinced we do that is by creating a church that unchurched people love to attend. We want to be irresistible because our gracious, loving Heavenly Father is irresistible. And we are convinced that the easier we make it to participate with us and to join with us and to come back and to plug in here, the likelier it is that you will one day meet and change your mind about our Heavenly Father. And for many of you today, you've been attending Wellspring. You're a part of Wellspring. And I wasn't kidding earlier. I want to challenge you today. Jump in. Play your role. We talked about last week, personal ministry. You taking a step so that you can see God do more than you ever thought possible. We dismiss today. We have people out there. Today is the serve event. Every volunteer area we have as a church is represented out there. They want to talk to you. They want to help you plug in and play your role. And the reason we want you to do it, it's great for you. Your life will become better as you play your role in personal ministry. But even bigger than that, it's an opportunity to partner with a group of people who have decided to do whatever it takes to see everybody in this region have a chance to reconnect with their Heavenly Father. You are the key to creating the irresistible environments. So sign up today to serve. And all of you that do serve, please come back tonight as we continue to drill down on what this looks like, how we can partner together, how we can present these environments so that people can reconnect with their Heavenly Father. This is us. This is who we are. This is what we do. I challenge you today, take a step. Plug in, play your role. And let's see what God does on the grand strand. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege we have of participating with you. We thank you that you invite us in. God, we thank you that you are the perfect picture. And I just beg that you give us the strength, you give us the know-how, you give us the clarity to partner with you to present the best picture possible, to create irresistible environments so that every man, woman, and child in Myrtle Beach has an opportunity to meet you. Father, I pray for those who are going to take a step of serving today. Lord, may they step into what you want for their life. Change us all as we partner with you, as we play our role in your story of rescuing Myrtle Beach. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.